call the September 7th, 2017 Public Financing Advisory Committee meeting to order. Can we have roll call starting from my left?
Sherry Friedrich, present.
John Moore, present.
Wallace Roedeker, present.
Tom Hammond, present.
Lisa Hughes, do we have a quorum?
Chair Hughes, we have a quorum.
Thank you.
And before we get started, if I might, for a moment, introduce, Public Finance has a new county council deputy assigned to advise Public Finance. And so I'd like to introduce Nick Daftery of County Council, who will now be advising Public Financing Advisory Committee as well.
Any relation?
I will turn it right over to Nick.
Yeah, I'm Mrs. Daftery's husband. So
Oh, she's related by money.
Yes. She earns more, and in relation to County Council, we figured, considering the difficulty of the last name, we just keep it the same. And I'm very happy to be working with you, and I look forward to advising you in this assignment.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I've been with County Council for about 16 years. Most of the bulk of that time, I've been advising the employee benefits plans, including pension plans. So it's given me a little bit of a financial background where I'm familiar with these matters. And of course, I could turn to my wife for advice as well. So I'm hoping that we can have a fairly smooth transition, and that can help you guys.
Well, that's exciting. I work with my husband, too. 39 long years. Never mind.
I got that on tape.
So where did Angie get promoted to?
She is now the supervising deputy of our probate unit.
Probate unit?
Yes, so she's doing probate work.
Well, more importantly, I'm a divorce lawyer. How long have you been married?
We've been married...
Soliciting business, are you?
I'm already getting in trouble because I have to calculate the number of years. We'll be married 15 years this December.
Oh, my goodness. With the minutes, would you write out the hesitation?
We have an audio of this as well.
Well, I will give you one secret to a long marriage. You will have a choice to make. You can either be right or you can be happy. So with that.
Happy wife, happy life. Just remember that.
Thank you.
Gives you which side you're supposed to be on. All right, if we can. Thank you very much for that introduction and welcome. I'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes of the January 4th, 2017 meeting.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any comments, corrections, alterations?
Ms. Chairman, you will update us on the subsequent events?
Yes, I will. I thought you wanted to say something, Ms. Lester, as well.
We do have an agenda item. Subsequent events, meaning...
Why don't we talk about it right now? What he's talking about is that we did have a contentious meeting, and I want to apologize that I let it get a little bit out of hand in January. But the result of that was statewide legislation, which is affecting a numerous district. You want to talk about it before I say something?
Well, so do we want to go to agenda item number 4?
Yes, why don't we do that?
Okay. So part of the discussion was some language, and this was related to our pension prepayment item. And there was language in the government code section 31582, and there were some differing interpretations. But there is new legislation amending the language that Governor Brown signed July 17, 2017. Approving Senate Bill 671, amending the government code section, and just changing the language to say,
oh, it changes a lot.
Provided that the payment is made no later than 30 days after the commencement of the county's fiscal year, the previous language where there were some differing interpretations said that provided that the payment is made within 30 days right after the commencement of the county's fiscal year. After the governor signed the legislation, we did The county did consult with our bond counsel, Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe, to determine if the amended code would have any impact on the county's 2007 judicial validation, providing the legal basis for the county's issuance of pension bonds and to participate in the pension prepayment program. And bond counsel said, confirmed that there would be no impact on the county's judicial validation.
Well, I think I want to add, since that was a tough several months, there was a number of people who were opposing the legislation here in the county. The rest of the state, what happened was they found that they had similar problems. And a number of districts and entities jumped on board, and the legislation doesn't just fix the 30 days. It will allow prepayments up to 2 years and certain other technical changes which were put in. And what was remarkable about this, the legislator carrying it was John Warlock, as I said we would be talking to. And by the way, Ms. Lester and Mr. Kim and myself, we've had telephone conferences, and with Orrick as well, had offered to carry the legislation. He's a Republican from Orange County. The Senate bill had the support of Sackers. It had the support of the union lobbyists. It passed through committees. It passed through the House and the Senate unanimously.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow. And one of the reasons it did was that I guess nobody else spoke up to say, well, wait a minute, we need to address these problems and get it done. So they all jumped on board, and he was quite pleased that he would have a bill that the governor would sign with such broad support. And I'm not going to be the chair anymore, and I want to say to whoever is filling these shoes, when the times get going and everybody's telling you you're wrong, listen to your gut and listen to the advisors and take it into account. But sometimes you just got to fight through with it. This bill, Mr. Morlock tells me that not only did it fix this and help the other districts, and I'm just saying that for the history and for saying what this committee could be responsible for, he said it played a part in the state of California paying off the $6 billion to CalPERS. So apparently the prepayment, now I didn't get the specifics, and he said, Lisa, this was part of the discussion, is that we played a large part in that, or some part in doing that, is perhaps maybe that wasn't a sexy subject that people wanted to talk about going back and looking at this legislation. But he said we were responsible in part for that affirmative action as well. So I want to thank those who were supportive and thank all of you who did question, because that does spark a very healthy conversation. But I do want to say that if we hadn't been in the PFAC board and we hadn't brought this up, these issues would have remained stagnant as they were. And PFAC as an organization has the opportunity to be the second set of eyes. It has the opportunity to question. Not that staff doesn't do a wonderful job, and you do. You're just outstanding and want to say that. But the purpose of an oversight board is to provide that and to question and to ask, and where appropriate, to act. So for my part, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have been part of that. And I think that we're going to move forward in a positive manner. I know it was a contentious meeting, and I'll say it again. I should have toned down that meeting and not allow it to have gotten as rancorous as it was. As chair, it was my responsibility to do that. But boy, did that start some healthy debate that resulted in this legislation. So thank you for allowing me to say those few words. Okay, any comments about item four?
I think that I'd just like to say that I think Ms. Hughes and Senator Morlock should be complimented on this project. And what was particularly interesting to me was in our last meeting, and it's in the minutes, that our counsel, Orrick Harrington, and others disagreed with Ms. Hughes.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I think that's worth noting.
Quite vehemently.
Yeah, and so To your credit, John Morlach apparently did a very good job in getting this done, so he should be complimented.
Well, thank you.
And so should you, Ms. Hughes.
I will pass that on to doing that, but, you know, lawyers take positions. Doesn't mean they're right or wrong. It doesn't mean, or it gave us advice that I didn't feel was necessarily I agreed with. Doesn't mean they were right or wrong. Nobody's trying to say they were bad or good. But sometimes, as our counsel will know, there's another way of looking at it that we can perhaps make it better. So, yes, when I asked them, would you put your malpractice policy on it, and the gentleman said, no, I wouldn't do that. I have used that question many times when dealing with the lawyers that we work with, and I think the answer was very telling. But we've got another opinion that we don't need to do anything retroactively. And by the way, John Morlach, Senator Morlach, thinks the same thing. And what does he know? He's only the former treasurer of the County of Orange and former member of the Board of Supervisors. He says, we just move forward.
So. Well, echoing Tom's comments, I think it's commendable and remarkable what you pulled off. And kudos to you for holding your ground.
Thank you. Just remember that when you're in that chair.
I just want to add one thing, that my experience in getting bills through Sacramento, our lobbyists always told us that for every bill that passes, you need one or two cleanups to follow it. And apparently there was never a cleanup behind this one.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah, and everybody ignored it and didn't pay attention to it. But there's always a little glitch in most of these bills that get through Sacramento. So, good.
Yes. Because public financing is not the most sexy issue, and it's not generally a topic. But apparently it did spark a conversation. All right, well, enough on that. Do we have a motion to, we have a motion, do we have a second? All in favor of approving the minutes of the January 4th meeting?
Aye.
Okay, aye. Going back to item four, that was just a presentation item. No vote necessary.
We don't need to vote on a receiving file. Should they vote on?
Perhaps we should just vote to receive and file.
Do we have I'd be pleased to make a motion to receive and file item four. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that leaves us with
Back to three.
Oh, thank goodness. Election of a new chair. Do I hear nominations for a new chair of Public Finance Advisory Committee?
I'd like to make a nomination, please.
Would you please?
And I would like to make a comment after this. After the nomination, I would like to nominate Wallace Roediger as the chairman to serve the balance of this year, and as vice chairman, John Moore. And I have some comments after the vote.
I have a question of counsel. We are to nominate the chair at the first meeting. This is the first meeting of the year. Is it a year term, or is it for the remainder of 2017? Nothing to do with
Rule 4 of the of this reads that with the exception of the initial election, PFAC shall elect a chair and a vice chair from its public members to serve for the calendar year at the meeting of PFAC in the calendar year. So I would read that this would be a nomination, since it hasn't been done before, for the chair and the vice chair who are being nominated to serve to the end of this calendar year. And at the first meeting of next year's calendar year, you would be electing again, a chair and a vice chair.
Well, that's a short tenure.
Especially when we have any meetings? Yeah, we do. It's December.
Okay. Yes. Do I hear any further nominations? Do I hear that the nominees would accept?
I'll accept.
I'll accept.
And I didn't hear a second, so I will second if there hasn't been a second.
Thank you, Sherry. There wasn't.
Yes, make sure.
All right, we now have a motion, we have a second, they have accepted. Any discussion about the motion?
Nope.
Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. By acclamation.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That means you're the chair.
Now, can I make, now Wallace, can I make a comment?
You are now the chair, so it's your turn.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
You seem anxious to make a comment. Please proceed.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how we should implement this, whether it needs to be agendized for the next meeting or whatever the procedure is. However, I would like to suggest, I've been sitting on this committee for, I think, 17 or 18 years, I'm not sure. And there's never really been a policy or a format for picking the chairman. It seems like whoever wants it kind of gets it and so on and so forth. And what I would like to suggest for discussion, perhaps in the next meeting or however we should, you think we should do this, I would like to suggest that we adopt a procedure similar to the Board of Supervisors. That is, they pick a chairman based upon the district. Every year they change first district, second district, third district, and so on. I would like to suggest that we adopt a similar plan for PFAC. And I don't know where we pick up, whether we pick up after the first district or the fifth district. I don't know how to do that. We can hash that out. I think we should be able to have some flexibility if a member of PFAC is on the board for less than a year, perhaps they should be excluded. Or if they don't want to serve, they should be excluded. The problem we have is that with the election of the supervisor cycle, which is every 2 years, am I right about that? Is it 2 years or every year? Or is it 2 years? They get elected. They serve 4 years, but the cycle is 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So theoretically, on PFAC, we're going to have two new members each year, assuming the supervisors change. So nobody will ever be chairman twice. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because of the new members coming in, because we've always had kind of a pass it around kind of a policy. So I would like to recommend that we agendize this. I wrote a memo about this in December, I believe. And so if we can put it on the agenda for next meeting, and it might be appropriate to discuss.
And what I would just add is that the chair can direct staff to agendize an item, and it seems like where this might fit is an amendment to the bylaws, because it's the bylaws, it's the PFAC bylaws that that guide how the selection of officers is handled. And with regards to the Board of Supervisors, I think they do seem to have it's more of an informal policy, I would say. You know, I know that there's been years, especially, you know, what comes to mind is when the El Toro Airport was a hot issue, where, you know, a person whose turn it might have been got bypassed, but they do seem to hold to a pattern. And like has been mentioned here, you know, when you have a new board member, they don't typically serve as a chair right away, because the experience gained is valuable before you serve as a chair.
Didn't Supervisor Bartlett, though, become chairman in her first year? I think she did, didn't she?
I believe her second year, because she started in 2015, and
oh, okay. I thought it was her first year, but anyway. I think you're right. We should consider that. We should bring that in. If there's a unanimous feeling that, or a majority feeling that there's some reason somebody shouldn't serve, I think we ought to be able to override that. So we can have that discussion, I think.
Which speaks to what she said. They have a practice, but it's not a rule. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's the situation in Fountain Valley. Also, we have a council there, and they follow the same rule. It's a practice, but not a rule, that they rotate it. They rotate it in a particular order, and I'm fine with that. And if you really want it agendized, we can do that too. But I can tell you right now, my feeling on it is that we should have an informal guideline. But I like it being informal, because I think we should have the flexibility of being able to change it, as is the case right now with John being vice chair. He hasn't served as chair yet, so I'd like to see him serve as chair at the end of my term. And I imagine he would too, and that wouldn't quite fit in with the if we adopted a specific guideline. So that's my thoughts on it.
I don't know whether it should be a policy or a bylaw. We, you know, somebody figure that out, though. Yes. That's all I'm saying.
May I, Mr. Chairman? Oh, it's so fun to say Mr. Chairman. I can say anything I want now, huh?
Enjoy.
The, I have to say, a personal experience, and I shared this with Mr. Hammond last week, that I have enjoyed him sitting to the right of me and the many, many, many years of experience that he has brought to this board. And I was on this board for several years before I took this hot seat, the chairmanship. And I wasn't ready, despite my background in finance and as a lawyer and a CPA, I wasn't ready to do it because I didn't feel that it was appropriate at the time. And had it been a mechanical switching, I don't know how that would have worked. So I'm with you that you look at the experience and also the desire. Right. Because there are times in each one of our lives where it's probably not the appropriate time. I've got to tell you, I got to warn you, you're going to spend time outside of this meeting room, the telephone calls, the meetings, the personal meetings, the lunches, the reviews, the working on this board. Mm-hmm. And it will be rewarding, but it is time consuming, and there are times in our professional and personal lives where we can't devote that. So those were my two cents, and
okay.
If it's agendized, I'm sure you're going to argue it again.
Well, I'm quite comfortable with Wallace's idea of making it a policy as opposed to a formal structure. That's fine with me, but I just think we ought to have some sort of a format.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
Yes, Barry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Congratulations again. One of the items that, we haven't talked about yet, and I am the only county employee that is here. We are missing the CFO, or the CEO, and the auditor controller, who are also members on the board. Now, I personally am busy enough that I would not want to be in the rotation for chair. I think it's important to have the five appointed representatives from the board on that, but I think that needs to be considered. Someone after me may want to be it. And so if you put something in stone, I think you may want to have some flexibility with maybe a practice, as Mr. Chair has said, and it sounds like it might be acceptable, because there may be different circumstances. For me, because of that time commitment, it doesn't make sense for me to, it takes away from some of my duties, and I know we have very well qualified people on the committee to be able to handle that chair and vice chair. We have a Treasury Oversight Committee, and again, it is more of an informal. We tend to have more of the public members versus the people who are, work for the county or for a local government. So, but it does change. So, I'm comfortable with leaving it as a practice and not putting something into the bylaws that then requires that to be done. And if you don't do that, then you would be in violation. And I think that may impact the right quality of service that we have, because the timing of that in your personal life might not be as appropriate as it might be in a different year. So that would be just my thoughts on it. And again, for me personally, I think it's being handled well with the five other members, but that may not be always the choice, so it just needs to be considered. And thank you for letting me provide some input, Mr. Chairman.
I would recommend that the Chairman Rodecker come back with us at the next meeting with a definitive policy.
Well, I was going to ask if you want to draft that policy so I can review it.
That'll be fine. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so let's move on to item number five.
And if
if
Mr. Chair, if I could just request, it was at your request, if we could move item six to number five.
Please. Okay. So so we're going to move item number six up in case we run out of time, because I may run out of time. So, and Sherry has to recuse herself from that one. So let's move on to item six.
Okay.
I have a point of order.
Yes.
If Sherry recuses herself, do we have a quorum to vote on this?
Yes.
Yes, we do. We do.
And so if we are moving on to the item, I would like to step down from the dais, please, and recuse myself.
Thank you.
That's a problem if you were chair. Seriously.
Right, and that's why I'm not being.
And if I might just add, I just reviewed the bylaws, and the bylaws specifically say that the chair and vice chair will be from, the selection will be from the public members. So that's not something we have to worry about then.
I knew that. I was, I thought that was true.
That is true. So moving on to number six, I would like to invite Victoria Ross, Public Finance Manager, to make the presentation.
Good afternoon, Chair Roedeker and PFAC members. I'm here to give an overview of item number six. In concept, approve recommending to the Board of Supervisors the proposed issuance of the short-term taxable pension obligation bonds to provide a prepayment for the county's fiscal year 2018-19 pension obligation. So I know you're all familiar with the pension obligation bonds. This is my third year also presenting. So I'm just going to give high-level overview, and then we'll see if you have any questions. So on August 21st, 2017, the OSERS board unanimously approved the option allowing plan sponsors to prepay their annual pension contribution at a discount rate of 4.5%, which is the same as what was the discount rate last year. So from a historical perspective, on the discount rate, in fiscal year 2015-16 and 16-17, it was 5.8%. And prior to that, prior to the 2015-16, it was the assumed actuarial rate of return, which is currently 7.25%. So, do we have any questions on that?
No, okay. Please proceed.
So the final maturity for these bonds will be June of 2019. Based right now on a projected contribution amount would be $454 million, with a gross savings estimated at $20 million. For this year also, Treasurer Sherry Friedenrich is willing to purchase, again, all the bonds for private placement to be placed in the extended pool. This last year worked well for both the treasurer and the county. And doing the private placement also helps to reduce our issuance costs. For 9 years, the county has done the prepayment with OSERS, and now the treasurer has 5 years of private placement, and then we've done 4 years of negotiated sales. So we are recommending the financing team be K&N Public Finance and Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe for financial advisor and bond counsel, respectively. So in April 2013, the county entered into contracts that were approved by the board for both a financial advisor and bond counsel, with K&N and Orrick having general purpose agreements. So therefore, they're already, contracts are in place. Both firms.
I'm sorry, so 1 second. So the proposal is to have K&N and Orrick?
Yes. Both firms have served on the team for the county's previous POBs, and Orrick completed the validation process. The estimated compensation for Orrick is $67,500, and for K&N, it's $32,500. Because this is a private placement, there's no underwriter.
And what's the total amount that we're raising?
It's estimated that it would be...
$454 million.
With the discount, it would be $434 million. But that would be not knowing if any county departments are going to prepay on their own.
And what is that? You gave us a gross savings of $20 million. What does it come down to net after we take out the cost of funding these bonds?
Yeah, I think what we're, interest rates are slightly higher than last year. So I think we're looking at a net savings of very similar to last year, $12 or $13 million.
Ms. Lister, I know you now have a practice of reporting back to us what happened. Do you recall what last year's was, the actual savings?
I believe it was $12 million because we knew, so for one thing, we agree on a pricing date, and by the time, you know, we had that extra January meeting. I mean, we literally priced a couple of days later, so we were very close to our estimate. Do you have the exact amount, Victoria?
Well, I don't need the exact. I bet
it was
I wanted
12.
To
get.
There's the from the financing,
yeah.
And that's from the.
Okay, yeah. So the net savings was $12,014,000 and some change.
Wasn't it 2015 that we actually had a liability increase because of performance? We talked about that.
Yeah.
In the overall liability, Ron.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd just like to make a comment about this issue. Ms. Lester has submitted to us the background for 7 years, was it? The impact on OSERS as well as the county and the discounts and what have you. And the report, I'm just taking it at face value from what it said, was, with the exception of 1 year out of seven, that it was a big win for both OSERS and the county when you compare it to paying monthly and what the return and the cost was. So it would have been, might have been appropriate to include that report again, because that was a very, very good report. And that explained everything. And I will add that, you know, we've thrashed this issue over and over. And I'd like to just kind of, we should do this, of course, in my opinion. But I'd like to point out something that Mr. Woolery, this is in our minutes from today. And he said that he objects this, we will never support any long-term pension obligation bonds, quote, unquote. That's what he says. I guess we means him, I guess. Is that it? But anyway, he says, the reasons are PFAC needs to get the actual results of POBs as part of the consideration. We already did that. And it was overwhelming evidence that this was really a good deal for both OSERS and for us. Because OSERS makes money on the arbitrage about what our discount is and what they really earn. So it's a big bargain for them. And then the other part is that he says we need an actuarial study be made. Well, it is an actuarial study. That's what this is. That's what this report is.
Yep.
So I'm just bringing that up because we do have a member here that seems to object to this plan, and it doesn't seem to bear out with the facts.
And Mr. Chair and committee members, I did send out that report in advance of last month's meeting. I was hoping to provide some information, you know, close to the meeting. And in the future, what I'll do, because I like providing you that advance report, but we'll also have it as part of our agenda item as well. And the it is part of our Board of Supervisors agenda item for consideration.
Well, it's
pardon?
I mean, that's critical to the argument. I mean, that's
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And Mr. Hammond, I'm sure that in your comments, when you use the word that we get the arbitrage on them. Because our bylaws specifically say we cannot do it for the purpose of arbitrage.
Would you subtract that out of the minutes, please?
Well, it's in the minutes, but I'm sure that's not what you meant.
The spread is what I meant.
The spread.
Yeah, for the county, the county receives a budgetary discount if we prepay. Now, once the funds are on deposit with OSERS, it's OSERS and their board who and their chief investment officer who determine how it's invested, and to the extent that there are investment returns, that just goes to reduce the county's unfunded liability.
Okay. All right, well, it seems like courtesy of Ms. Hughes and Mrs. Hughes and Mr. Morlock, we have resolved the legal technicalities on it. So is there any further discussion?
We have a motion.
I have. I'm going to ask for a motion now.
I'll make it.
Okay.
I move to accept the recommendation.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right, call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Okay, let's jump back. We still have some time, so let's jump back to item number 5. Who do we have presenting with you?
Good afternoon, Chair Rodecker. Can you hear me? That sounds...
A little light.
A little light, but it's okay. We can hear you.
Usually I feel like I'm very loud, so... today we are requesting that your committee recommend to the Board of Supervisors the refinancing of some community facilities districts and assessment districts, and approve, recommend the selection of the financing professionals. This item is a great opportunity to provide direct taxpayer savings in the form of refinancing these to a lower interest rate, which directly reduces the special taxes that are on these folks that are property owners in these districts on their property tax bills. So specifically, let me get back to this item. Specifically, what we are requesting is there's kind of two chunks because there's two different districts. In concept, approve recommending to the Board of Supervisors the proposed refunding of South Orange County Public Financing Authority Special Tax Revenue Bonds 2005 Series A. Recommend the selection of Fieldman Rollap and Associates as municipal advisor. Recommend the selection of Stradlin Yaka Carlson and Routh as bond and disclosure counsel. Recommend the selection of Stiefel Nicholas and Company as underwriter. And then moving to the assessment district, Newport Coast Assessment District, in concept, approve recommending to the board the proposed refunding of assessment district 01-1 Newport Coast, fixed rate series 2003B, group 1, group 2, and group 3. And then recommend the selection of Fieldman and Rollap and Associates as municipal advisor, Norton Rose Fulbright as bond and disclosure counsel, and Piper Jaffrey and Company as underwriter. And just a little bit of background, the South Orange County Public Finance Authority, these are the Ladera Ranch CFDs, the first three in the series. And back in 2014, we refinanced the last three, 2002, 3, and 4. So this is the first three that were issued in 1999, 2000, and 2001. They were already refinanced once in 2005, and at that time, they were pooled together into a Mark's Roost pools for one CFD for economies of scale on the issuance costs. The preliminary analysis indicates that there's approximately a little over $10 million or 16.49% net present value savings to be had, but specifically that translate into approximate savings per parcel of about $266. Now the assessment district, these have not been refinanced yet. And what happens here is there was a master assessment. They were variable rate bonds. The Irvine Company owned this land, and they had a letter of credit on deposit, and they paid these variable rate bonds. And as they developed their various communities, we would convert these bonds, and thus you have these different groups. We would convert them to fixed rate bonds so that these property owners would know what their lien is. And so these have not been refinanced before, so the savings opportunity is higher here, approximately a little over $5 million. There's a less number of parcels, or 15.81%. And that estimated per parcel savings is about $1,000 per parcel annually, which is significant.
So moving to the selection of financing professionals, on June 9th, we issued three sets of requests for proposals for a municipal advisor, bond and disclosure counsel, and underwriter services, and they were distributed to all the folks that are on our previous qualified panels. We did outreach to your committee members, and at that time it was, you know, about Memorial Day, getting into the middle of summer, and we didn't have anybody that was able to participate in our committee.
On your outreach for the municipal advisors, you went out to seven firms, and we only got two replies. And also on the bond disclosure council, we did a little better percentage-wise, but it was still low. You went to seven and got three versus the next group where we got over 50%. Why do you think we're getting such low returns?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, on our qualified panel for underwriters, we have 21 firms, so we have a lot bigger number. We have five or six firms in the municipal advisor panel and the bond and disclosure council panel. Second, the land secured financing is it's a specific expertise. And, you know, we did have a couple of firms that called us and let us know, you know, oh, county, you're valuable to us. We want to let you know that, you know, we value doing business with you, but we know that there's other folks that do this land secured financing better than us, and so we are not planning to propose.
My question is, do we need to expand the pool to people? If we only have seven that we sent out and we get two back, should we now go to 10 or what have you?
When, in answer to that question, when we established the pools, I mean, we sent it out to the universe. I mean, you know, anyone who has signed up to do business with the county, you know, a couple thousand hits go out through our electronic procurement system, BidSync. So, you know, we aren't, when we go through and evaluate the panels, that's a minimum screening. We set, you know, a minimum screening value, and we recommend everybody that meets that minimum screening.
You indicated that there's going to be a savings of about $1,000 per lot on one of these refinances and about 266 or so on another. Is that net after the cost are factored in?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Perfect.
So, you know, I do know that our municipal advisor pool has shrunk over the years. There's been a lot of new regulations. There's municipal advisors now have to be registered with the SEC. That didn't happen before. There's a test, and, you know, I think, and, you know, our municipal advisors here can speak to that, but I think the industry has contracted. There are less firms in the municipal finance space than there were before.
Commissioner Moore made an interesting observation about the disparity in the reviews. It seems like there were some very different opinions on these. Some of them scored in the 90s, and then the same vendor got scored in the 60s. So we found it kind of interesting, the spread of opinions on these.
And I'm looking at one right now for the municipal advisor, and while that's true, I think it speaks to, you know, some people are very, are, you know, more strict in their scoring, but I believe the result is consistent, you know, where, you know, the firm that came out on top came, were ranked number one, was ranked number one on the other, and the firm that was ranked number three was also ranked number three on the others.
I just think that's why it's important to have a member of PFAC, mm-hmm. when possible, to be on these evaluating teams.
And we will continue to outreach to the committee.
Could, will you identify the panelists?
I can't identify the panelists, but I can tell you, you know, what their position is.
Do you want to know who the troublemaker was?
And by the way, we don't. By the way, when we provide, this is what we provide to the Board of Supervisors as well. On the municipal advisor panel, we had two public finance managers and one auditor controller department manager. On the Bond and Disclosure Council, we had one budget manager, one public finance manager, and one deputy county council attorney. And then in for the underwriter, we had two public finance managers and one manager from the treasurer tax collector's office.
On the one before, you said you had somebody from county council. Do they have bond experience, public finance experience?
Yes, yes.
You couldn't get a PFAC member?
Not at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think they asked. I believe they did ask.
Yeah, I know they had a conflict.
I know you know
we did.
But I've served on it before. That's, I think it's important that somebody be on it.
So we'll continue to make sure we outreach to your committee first.
Very good. Any okay. more questions before we call for a motion?
To your left.
I have a couple of issues, if I may. Is somebody here from Stifel?
Yes, we have Sarah Brown from Stifel.
May we talk to you, please? And I'm going to also ask the same question to the Piper people. So, little history on this. The big issue on these Miller Roos bonds is that what is the obligation of a developer, landowner, and how much of the parcels are owned by other parties? And I assume, if I'm not mistaken, you will include that information in your prospectus?
Yes, sir. Hi, I'm Sarah Brown from Stifel Nicholas. Yes, these particular districts, the CFDs that are underlying the South Orange County bond issue that's being refinanced, at this point in time, as Suzanne mentioned, we are refinancing of bonds that were issued in 2000, 2001, 2002, that time period. And at this point, the property that's contained within those three underlying CFDs are all owned by individual property owners. I forget, there might be small amount of commercial in one of the districts, but it's all been diversified and owned by individuals for quite a bit of time now. But yes, the prospectus will outline very clearly to investors how the land ownership is held. And the bonds will actually go through a rating process, which is expected probably for both the assessment districts and the CFDs. So we'll have an opportunity. I believe that the bond issue that's being refinanced is a BBB plus rated right now. Hopefully that gets upgraded. Standard & Poor's is going through a review and change in their criteria, but I would envision that it's at least that rating or a higher rating, given the amount of value that's been increased over the past several years. And so all of that will be outlined in the prospectus to investors.
All right. Well, in the past, and this is, we certainly should do this, but in the past, when all these properties weren't developed, we asked for that detail and we got it. And then the question comes up, does the Rancho Santa Margarita company have the financial resources to pay the Miller Roos bonds that aren't sold to other people or the properties, taxes? And to their credit, they did provide financial statements, all right? Which brings me to the people at Piper about the Irvine Company, because we went through this same process with them, and the Irvine Company concluded, help me out with this, Suzanne, they concluded we're not going to do that, and they just bought the bonds back. They didn't issue the deal. Now, is the Irvine Company going to give us detail of these properties and financial information that they can afford to pay the Miller Roof bills?
Well, good afternoon. Katie Koster. I'm here representing Piper Jaffray & Co. With respect specifically to the assessment district, I don't believe that the Irvine Company holds any more property in those assessment districts. So similar to what Ms. Brown described with respect to the Ladera, this is a refunding of assessment districts that have been outstanding for some time, that have previously been converted to a fixed rate because of the fact that the property is now owned by individuals as opposed to the Irvine Company. So with respect to this refunding of those priorly converted bonds, we don't believe that the Irvine Company will in fact own any of that property, and so that situation would not
so chances are no.
Be a part of the structure.
But Jill, but that'll be in the prospectus.
Absolutely.
And do we get the prospectus when we finally approve this?
Yes.
Is it completed by then? Is a draft done?
Substantially completed.
Oh, okay, good. All right, fine. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A question for Ms. Brown. You mentioned that these were a refinance, but I believe you mentioned that two of these properties had not been refinanced before. Is that correct?
That was the assessment districts hadn't been refinanced, but the CFDs that are all Ladera Ranch CFDs have all been refinanced. We did the original bond issues in 99, 2000, 2001 timeframe, and then did a big refinancing of them and together in 2005 into that pool of the South Orange County, which when we got the rating, and then we're taking that, refinancing it again. Another, obviously, 12 years have gone by.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Sherry, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. From Mr. Moore's question earlier, Suzanne, you mentioned that they have had the change in the SEC requirements for the municipal advisors, and I also noted we just had two, and it is nice to get more than two because we have, I think we had seven were invited, so is the seven on our list? Is we have seven on the list that we approved this last year? So there's just
seven. So I guess my question, would be is, do we need to go back to the list? And I know how busy you guys are, especially when you do these, but if several of those are falling off because they are no longer able to do the certification, do we need to reopen that list to make sure that we get, more than two bidding? Because certainly for us, we want to make sure that it's competitively bid, that we are getting good service, certainly someone who can carry through and complete the transaction, but we're also looking to get that price. So I'm just not sure how many of those seven would still be qualified or if we should go back out. And if you have any information to comment at this time, and if not, we certainly could get that later.
Well, Treasurer Friedenrich, we did just requalify this panel in 2016,
right.
And I'm just looking at the list, and I could certainly outreach to some of the folks that didn't respond and just, query, we're just curious for moving forward why you didn't propose. A couple of them I can guess. CSG Advisors, the county has used their expertise that the county has used them for is housing. And Frasca, the expertise that I've seen the county use them for is airport. I know the airport has a separate general advisory contract with them. A couple of them, I don't know why they didn't. It could be the lands, specific lands secured expertise, Acacia and PFM.
They could have lost their practice. They could have had some people transfer to other law firms. And that's why maybe we reach out. There's other law firms out there that may have this capability.
Well, I think these are the MAs.
So yeah, the
MAs. And, I guess the question is, do we have only two or three? So, do we consider for next time trying to even go down a little farther on that list to make sure that we've got adequate? Because we certainly want the winners to know that they won through a good competitive bid. I mean, that's great because that's good for them. It's good for us. And when you get such limited participation, it just makes it more challenging because
In this case, I mean, you looked at the fees. One was proposing $35,000, one was proposing $59,500. Quite a discrepancy in the fees. I think, as Mr. Moore mentioned, there were some differences in the rating, so it is harder, you know, to identify some of those. And I think when you get that broader base of three or four, as we saw in the underwriters, it really works through those. You could see a lot of those different levels, which I think is just helpful for us. I think it's really just input on that to, sure. You know, with that change, is it something we need to either not lower the bar, but we want to make sure we have three or four that are, you know, land financing, if we have airport construction, if we have housing that we have, and maybe we should expand that list next time to make sure we're covering, you know, a few more of those, because we approve the list, and I just don't remember where we set that bar at. You know, did we set it too high so that we miss some of those others? And maybe we even identify what type of financing they specialize in, so we make sure we cover it.
And we'll consider how we can improve that process. I believe we do. I remember I'm envisioning a big matrix that we provided,
right?
That mm-hmm. showed their areas of expertise.
Yes, I think probably.
And if they what their national experience was versus their California experience. Mm-hmm. We will consider, you know, if we need to go out again before 2019 to requalify that panel, which on our current schedule is when we would do that.
Right, and I know when I looked at it, I probably didn't look. I looked at the expertise. It was a very nice job, I remember. But I probably didn't say, oh, there's only two land-based. And maybe at that point I might have made a different decision, but I didn't focus on that. I just focused on general. But I really appreciate your input on that. The second item is just on the Bonded Disclosure Council. I know that we've gone kind of back and forth whether we have separate bond and disclosure council or whether we have them together. And I noticed two here, we're putting them together. Could you just refresh my memory if you have as to kind of the thought on that? I mean, I think that it does have some economies of scale, but I know previously we talked about having a different eye looking at it is also good. And what's the, you know, it sounds like this time you're recommending them. So if you could just provide some input on that.
Sure, Chair Rodecker and committee members. We do agree and we do feel that a more complex new money financing that have the value of having a separate bond council and disclosure council is a benefit. In this case, these are fully built out CFDs and assessment districts. The debt's already there. Now we're just refinancing it to take advantage of a lower interest rate, and so we didn't believe that the level of complexity might have been for what we might have on a new issuance, and so we're recommending the one bond and disclosure council.
Great, thank you for clarifying that, and I do appreciate that. It's just good to get that on the record because I couldn't quite remember, but in this case it is, they're already issued. The others are newer deals that you're actually having to look a little more closely. So thank you for, again, taking that into consideration. I think that probably saves some money instead of separating those. And my last question is really on kind of, I know we're not going to get into the structure as much, but in relation to the ones we're refunding. So the ones the first ones, the South County, they were done, it looks like, in, 2002? And those are then callable. Have they just become callable? Is that, you know, maybe you could talk about what's that period. I know I was just reading that there was a large bond deal that was done by an MA, and they got the callable date wrong. And they weren't callable, and they, you know, refunded the bonds. I don't know if you read that. I just read that this week. And, you know, what is the callable date? I want to make sure that we have that.
Previous comments, but no comment.
The South Orange County, the Ladera Ranch that was last refinanced in 2005, have been callable since 2015. So
those were recallable since then. And I guess the question is, you know, two things. When you actually look at what we issued then, were they issued at, you know, significant premiums, so it makes it advantageous to have to come back and do the deal again because even when you issued them, if you issued them at 5% and if interest rates were at 3%, you know,
you know, that person who's getting the coupon payments is going to, you know, they look at the total interest cost through the whole deal, but actually they're going to get 5% on those first, and it's not going to be amortized over that whole item. So I sit on the school bonds and school district bonds, and you know, it's just one of those areas that takes a lot of time to come through and refinance. I mean, it takes, obviously we meet, it has to, you know, you have to hire people, and you know, I'm still uncertain whether it's better to have the callable bonds or just do a market rate as they do the taxable bonds. You normally don't have callables and you issue them once, and then you don't have to worry about reissuing because you saved some of that money up front, depending on, you know, how that premium works. And it, you know, it is varied. But so are you aware, did we issue those at premiums also so they were above the market? And is that what's causing, you know, a little bit more of the savings?
I mean, I think there was likely a premium attached, but just speaking in general, bonds are callable, and this is in the prospective, so the buyers are absolutely aware, you know, every 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and especially on this type of financing where, you know, the interest rate environment can change, if it goes higher, we don't have, you know, we wouldn't refinance, right. But, you know, like we've seen here, you know, since 2005, the interest rate environment has dropped significantly, and it's definitely a benefit to be able to come back for the taxpayer to take advantage of that.
Right. I mean, I appreciate, you know, coming back now today. You know, obviously the one was 2015, and the 2006, those must be the two then were the 2003 and then the 2006. And it doesn't say what year the group one, two, and they were 2005 and 2006 and 2007. So those are just coming up on that 10-year callable period.
Yeah, and now, actually, there is a group four that is not eligible till 2019. So, you know, that one is sitting on its own.
And would we ever consider doing the further advance refunding on that one or not? Just because we'd have to, of course, get all of the costs of issuance and pay for all of the attorneys. So, you know, just something to keep in mind is that obviously there are costs. We come through, we ask you all these questions, you know, and, right. You know, I'm just looking for the taxpayer that, you know, is there. We want to make sure that they're having hopefully that lowest costs, and, you know, rates do change. But when you do sell at premiums, it does have that incentive that you are bringing that whole financing team back, and that does create more costs later on, even though in this case we're still going to get the refunding because the rates are much higher than they are today, you know, for that, with that total interest cost. So I think the last question I had, so you've confirmed they are callable. You know that the dates are callable and the group four is not callable, so that is excellent. And let's see, where was my last question? I think it was maybe just on the underwriter. I was pleased to see that we did have a lot of responses, you know, 10 out of the 21. And obviously that's what we would like to get on some of the others, and just making sure we're covered. And, you know, that was very helpful to have that. And it looked like it was fairly competitive, which is good. And congratulations to Stiefel for winning. But, it you know, it's good when we see that competitiveness certainly on it. I think that certainly helps make sure that we are doing our due diligence on those. And we appreciate the committee on that. So that concludes my questions. Thank you.
One additional question. Is it possible to show the rates on the bonds that we're talking about, just so we have a feel for what their rates, face values are?
On which bonds?
The ones that we're going to refund in.
What the existing rate is?
Yeah.
So the interest rates, so I'm looking at the assessment districts right now. What the estimated interest rate is for the 2003 fixed rate.
Oh, Katie?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
So with respect to the bonds that are being refunded,
right.
The current rates for the 2003 fixed rate Series B bonds, they're currently have serials from 18 to 21 that range from 5.4% to 5.65%, and a term in 33 at 5.75%.
If we could have that on our documents when we look at that, sure. It makes it very simple. Thank you.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
And then the others, are they?
And then, yes, group one ranges between 4.625 to 5.1 with a final term in 33. The group two bonds range between 4.85% and 5.05%, also a 33 term. Mm-hmm. And then the group three bonds are 4.625 currently to a 5.15, maturing in 33 as well.
Thank you.
And I guess the other question, it would be nice to know the term, and, you know, when you do the structure, obviously you've got the serial and you've got the term bonds, and there are, you know, distinct advantages on both saving, so that would be helpful just to kind of have that. So thank you for putting the information there.
So we'll make sure that not only do we bring that information, you know, when we're proposing in concept, but we'll also have that information when we come back for the requesting the final recommendation.
Thank you.
This board likes numbers. And as you can tell, and Sherry is completely unfamiliar with the material, so.
2033? Mr. Hammond, how old are we going to be? Never mind. We'll leave those numbers out.
Unless there's any further discussion, can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion. If you'll review what the motion is, I know what it is.
It's a little laundry list here. Somewhere in here is an order of fries.
I know.
Can we recap the items? We'll just refer to it as agenda item number five.
I was going to say agenda item number five, recommended actions 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm. That's all you have to
say.
Yeah.
Second.
Any discussion?
I think we had it.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So approved. All right. I believe that takes us to the end of our, I don't know where my agenda went anymore. I believe. Thanks.
We're going to cancel a September 17th meeting, I believe.
I think the next item on the agenda is a public asking if there's any members of the public.
Oh, yes. Public comment. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? Say we have the usual mob. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. Okay. Are we? Okay. So we are going to table the next meeting of September and move it to October 12th. Correct?
That's correct. And so you can expect this afternoon a notice of cancellation for next week's meeting to be sent out.
Very good. Okay, unless there's anything further, I will adjourn our meeting.
All right.
Nicely thank you, done. Sir.
Thank you. Well done, Mr. Rodecker.
Thank you. Lisa, you leave some very big shoes to fill, Lisa.